Hi, everyone, and welcome to Focus Forward, an executive function podcast where we explore the challenges and celebrate the wins you'll experience as you change your life through working on improving your executive function skills. I'm your host, Hannah Choi. This is the very last episode of our fourth season of Focus Forward. Amazing. I can't believe it. We normally take off all of August and September for our hiatus, but I just had to get one more episode in. I truly hope you have enjoyed and learned from all the conversations we have shared with you this season and from my solo episodes. If you have enjoyed listening and you haven't rated our show before, would you please just take a minute to do that? You can do that on Spotify or Apple. On Spotify, it's like a little drop-down menu right at the top. And on Apple, you just scroll right down to the bottom and it will give you a chance to rate it down there. Thank you guys. I really appreciate it. All right. So today's topic, I am pulling together five of the biggest themes that came up over and over again in the past 22 episodes. And plus I added in some of the most powerful advice from our guests. And I'm going to share some clips from some of those episodes. And in the show notes, I have included the list and the links to the episodes that will be useful for each theme if you're interested in going back and listening or re-listening. I recently wrote a blog post for Beyond Booksmart about the power of generative AI for people with ADHD. And an episode like this, like today's, would take weeks to research before the invention of AI. And I guarantee you that my ADHD brain would have conked out way before I was finished. Even with AI, it was a challenging thing to finish. So I am very grateful to the three AI tools that I use to get it done. First, I downloaded the transcripts from each episode and uploaded them to Google's Notebook LM and asked it to pull out the theme of each episode and then find the five major themes that emerged across all of them. Then I asked it to create a briefing doc, which summarizes everything in a super organized and easy to understand way. Then I shared that with ChatGPT and worked with it to come up with a structure for the episode. And then it created an outline for me to follow, including bullet points, which was great. I changed some of them. I added some. Everything that I'm saying, though, I wrote myself. Like every single sentence I wrote myself. But ChatGPT just made it less overwhelming for me by giving me an outline to follow. I then used Otter AI, which creates transcripts of every episode, including the timestamps. And that helped me find the audio quotes that supported each theme. And so I shared those timestamps with Sean, and then he was easily able to find them in each episode that I shared with him. And then it was easy for him to include in this episode. So now that you know the secrets of how this episode came to be, let's get on with the show. Okay, so theme number one was understanding our own executive functioning and neurodiversity. And the big ideas to remember here are that executive functioning is developmental. We know that. Our brains, you know, just keep on developing as we age. And then ADHD is not neurological and not is, sorry, ADHD is neurological. It is not moral. Our EF skills in any diagnosis do not make us better or worse than anyone else. Okay, so executive function skills. Just a quick review if anybody needs that. What are they? It's kind of a weird word. So what are they? These are the mental skills that we use to get through our days. Some people call them self-management skills. I like to say they help us execute our days, which explains the executive part of the name. And also they are higher level thinking skills, kind of like executives are higher level employees in a company. Same idea, just in your brain. If there is anything I've learned over the years as a coach and over the past few years of learning about my own ADHD, it's that compassion for ourselves and empathy for others who have EF challenges goes a really, 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 really long way in life. Instead of spending time paying attention to limiting beliefs about ourselves and behaving in ways that do more harm than good, we might as well use that energy to try to learn about ourselves, our limitations, our strengths, what might work, what doesn't work. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a lifelong journey of going forward and sliding back and going forward and sliding back and repeating that. But we can slowly, incrementally make change, and it does add up as we go along. When we can accept ourselves as we are, it makes it easier to do this. As Brianna Morton and Melissa Llewellyn Snyder said in episode 61, embracing self-acceptance as the foundation for strong and effective self-advocacy skills involves understanding that in a world of horses, you are a normal zebra and not a weird horse.
Self-advocacy is self-acceptance. You have to understand who you are, that you're not broken, that you are a normal zebra, not a weird horse, mm-hmm. and you're allowed to have needs that are different than other people's needs, and you're allowed to ask for help when you need it.
Another way we can have compassion for others is by understanding the brain and the timeline on which our EF skills develop. The latest research shows that our prefrontal cortex, which is where our EF skills live, doesn't finish developing until 30. Wow, I mean, that's crazy. This knowledge doesn't necessarily make it easier to deal with our children's or our students' behavior, but it really can help us at least understand why they or we do the things they or we do. Or if a colleague is having a really hard time in their personal life, we will understand better why they may be struggling at work. I'm not saying it's an excuse. I'm not at all, but it can be an explanation. Another aspect of this theme that is important to touch on and was brought up in a number of episodes was the idea of using self-regulation strategies and learning which ones work best for us. I loved the strategies shared by Dr. Narissa Bauer in our conversation about self-regulation and kids in episode 54. She recommended learning how to practice the power of the pause. Recognize when you're feeling dysregulated, which can, I know, be very difficult. Understand the emotions that you're feeling, and give yourself time to respond rationally instead of impulsively. In the moment, it can feel impossible, but with practice and with just keeping that top of mind, we can start to notice and then start to lengthen that pause. Strategies that can strengthen our self-regulation skills include deep breathing, self-talk, using a body scan to find areas of tension in our bodies. And we can also remember that behavior is a message, our behavior and our kids' behavior, as Dr. Bowers said. We can look at that behavior and see what we can learn from it. What do we need in that situation? The biggest takeaway for me here is let's learn as much as we can about ourselves, what our strengths are, what areas we might need to focus on for improvement, and what we can do to feel better about our executive functioning. Because as you've heard me say before, and I have heard many others say, knowledge is power. If you want to go back and listen to any of the episodes where this is a key theme, check the show notes. All right, theme two, holistic well-being. The big idea here is that EF skills rest on a healthy body and mind. A strong theme that runs through this season is the importance of taking care of ourselves so that our EF skills have that strong foundation on which to rest. As we know, we're more able to access our executive function skills when we are regulated. And being regulated is easier when we're rested, when we're fed, when we've gotten some kind of movement in, whatever that looks like for you, and have had our social needs met. I'll touch on parenting in the next section, but I just wanted to give a quick example that shows how important self-care is for us to be successful. So child development expert, Dr. Kenneth Ginsberg, who I interviewed in episode 62 and will come up later, started his book, Lighthouse Parenting, with an entire very detailed and long chapter on taking care of ourselves as parents. Because if we can't do that for our kids, we're not going to be able to be a stable force for them. This is how important it is. He started his entire book on self-care for parents. So it's really important, guys. All right, so let's look at exercise and movement. Dr. John Randolph met with me to talk about brain health in episode 59, and he shared the importance of exercise. So let's listen to what he said.
Fitness in midlife can really predict the likelihood of dementia 20 or 30 years later. So it's also, I think, reassuring for people who maybe are in midlife or younger life who say, boy, I'm sedentary right now. I'd like to become more active. Is it really worth doing? And it absolutely is worth doing at any point in time. The other thing that's interesting is that a lot of the research, for example, on physical activity is with older adults who have been sedentary. So even folks in their 70s or 80s who are not very active, when they become active within a period of time, they can develop basically better brain-related connections, neuroanatomy can change in positive ways, and cognitive skills can change too. So it's always a good time to get started, even if it's just taking some small steps to try to incorporate a new activity like exercise.
Taking a look at sleep, another important routine to work on. We heard Dr. Sarah Cheyette in episode 65 talk about how getting good sleep can help manage both ADHD symptoms and migraines, which I know about personally, unfortunately. Sarah explained how poor sleep quality can worsen both conditions, creating a vicious cycle where lack of sleep triggers more headaches and makes ADHD symptoms harder to manage, which makes it harder to prioritize sleep. Getting adequate quality sleep was recommended as a cornerstone lifestyle change for managing both conditions. I'm not saying that sleep outweighs everything. We know this, right? Lots of things are super important, but we are going to be looking for balance here. And this reminded me of Sam, who was one of the teens that I had on in episode 70, and he shared a funny story, or we laughed about it, but it actually is like a real serious story about how his parents, he felt his parents had put too much emphasis on getting a lot of sleep by requiring an 8 p.m. bedtime, even when Sam was in high school. This made his parents feel better, right? Because they knew he was getting a lot of rest. But for Sam, it wasn't working because his available time for getting homework done and socializing with his friends, which were really important to him, were being negatively impacted by having to go to bed at 8. So Sam discussed this with them and asked them to please trust him so he could show them that he could find a balance. Remember, I said that word balance before, find a balance between everything that he wanted to do and continuing to get a good night's sleep, which is what his parents wanted him to do. And he did. And now he is allowed to manage his own bedtime. So great job with that, Sam. We also explored food and executive functioning with Emily Gordon in episode 60 on disordered eating. Emily reinforced the importance of healthy behaviors around food, approaching our relationship with food from a place of curiosity, not judgment, and being aware of the negative messages we get from the media and others in our lives. And if we have children around, to make sure that we are doing the same with them, right? It is difficult, but with all of these important foundational routines, just like these important foundational routines, that effort does pay off. Lastly, the idea of getting external help from a therapist or a coach was reinforced in many episodes. We know that this is a great choice for people with ADHD or other executive function challenges. And I really loved how author Kendra Adachi in episode 53 discussed how internal problems require different approaches than external solutions do. So she said, internal problems do require a different skill set, a very vulnerable skill set, and sometimes it's hard to do that on our own. And that's why she thinks therapy and safe relationships and journaling are things that help you get into a place of being able to examine those internal problems is really great. So normalizing this type of support, talking about this kind of stuff is a goal of Focus Forward. And so, you know, it's okay to ask for and to get help. And Tidy Dad, Tyler Moore, shared that after his mental health broke down after years of major stress, he worked with a wonderful therapist to help him tease things apart and figure it out. And now he's not working with his therapist anymore, but now he's continued his support by having a coach, and he meets with the coach every other week for support too. And then lastly on this topic, my guest David Helfand, Dr. David Helfand, who is a licensed psychologist, reinforced the importance of seeking support for executive functioning challenges that impact our relationships. We don't exist in a vacuum, right? It's really important to remember that our executive function challenges impact more people than just us. Okay, so moving on to theme 3. We've got strategies for managing executive function challenges. And the big idea here is that tools and flexible thinking help us navigate the daily demands of being an adult. So once we understand our own special brains and how they work and have addressed the areas of our lives that help us stay regulated, and we can really start to take advantage of executive function tools and strategies. This doesn't have to happen linearly though, right? It's probably not going to happen that way. You can learn about your brain by doing experiments with new tools and strategies, and then that can help you decide what will work and what will not work. If you are listening to Focus Forward and you hear a strategy that you think might work, or your executive function coach or your therapist suggests something, or you read an article on the internet that suggests something that piques your interest, try try it or modify it and then try it. You might need to modify it, like I said, to fit your needs, and that's okay to do. And if you try it once and it doesn't work, reflect on why and either try it again or change it and see if any of the changes that you made made a difference. And speaking of asking why, you also need to be able to look pretty deeply to see if you can figure out why you're struggling in certain areas or with certain tasks, or maybe why you're struggling to get a certain tool to work for you. So in episode 69, my coaching client, Helena Bowen, and I dug really deep into the topic of why and the idea of doing experiments to learn about ourselves. And through coaching, Helena realized that sometimes she wasn't avoiding the task at all. She was avoiding the feelings that the task stirred up.
So we made a list of all these different reasons why I might be avoiding something and just decided to start tracking those. And really the big lesson that I learned from tracking those things is that all of my task avoidance is actually just feeling avoidance. Like I'm really not avoiding the task most of the time. I'm avoiding the feeling that the task creates.
Once she'd figured out the feeling she was having, she'd write about it for a couple minutes and ask herself why 5 times in a row. That process helped her get really nitty-gritty down to the ultimate reason, the true reason about what was actually going on. And often what she thought was the problem wasn't actually the real problem at all. And once she named the actual issue, feeling overwhelmed, not breaking things down enough, or just needing a quick review of her notes, the solution was usually obvious and then easier to act on. For her, emotions became data that she used to decide the next step, what she was going to do next, instead of sitting there just feeling stuck. So in addition to emotions, another thing that can trip us up when trying to get stuff done in life is not knowing where to start when we have a big old project or a task to complete. In our motivation and productivity program, many of our attendees share that this is the hardest thing to do. In episode 63, I decided to explore this idea and I made a solo episode to share a bunch of different strategies to break large tasks down into smaller steps to make it easier to start. My personal favorite strategy starts with a brain dump, and this is great, especially if you're feeling overwhelmed by a task. I know that a brain dump doesn't work for everybody, but it's worth trying to see if it works for you. So what you do is you dump everything you know you need to do to complete the task without worrying about this like so-called right order, right? We're just trying to get all the steps out of your head. So if you start at the end, that's fine too. Then we can use an STM, which stands for steps, sequence, time, and mapping. So what you do is you take all those steps that you've dumped out of your head and then arrange them in the order that makes the most sense for you to do now. That may change later depending on life. Estimate the time that you're going to need for each step and then map it out on a calendar or in a planner or just like on a piece of paper, either over the course of a day if it's a short thing that you're working on, or over a longer period of time, depending on when the task just needs to be completed. And this is a great strategy for long-term projects or anything with multiple steps, like multiple steps, or anything that you're just feeling super overwhelmed by. And to extend the effectiveness of these tools, you can briefly reflect on how it went if your time estimates were accurate. That's very helpful. It tells you if you are an overestimator or an underestimator, and it also gives you an idea of just how long things take. This can give you valuable insight for the next time you need to do this task or something similar. If you want to read more about this topic, you can find episodes in the show notes. All right, theme 4, parenting and communication. And the big idea for this was connection over perfection. And many of our episodes give strategies and advice for parents or other adults who work with children in some capacity. The main theme that showed up through our many episodes on the topic was connection over perfection. So both Neil Elliott, one of Beyond Booksmart's veteran coaches in episode 56, and my teen guests in episode 70 shared the positive impact that parents can have on their children and their relationships with their children by using flexible thinking to shift their perspectives, ask questions, and try to understand rather than dictating and not considering the bigger picture. Going along with this idea, I loved what Dr. Kenneth Ginsberg had to say.
When we control our children and we say, you'll do what I say, why? Because I said so. Or the more subtle variation of, I think, right? Then what you're doing is you're basically dictating your child. What do we know about adolescence? We know that adolescence is about figuring out how to become independent. What do we know about healthy and meaningful adults, relationships? It's choosing to be interdependent, choosing to remain connected. You will not choose to remain connected to someone who controlled you, dictated you, or solved problems for you. But you will never choose to lose relationships with people who treated you as a guide. By your child knowing you choose to be a guide, not a dictator, by your recognizing them as experts, and by your listening more than talking, right? When you are a sounding board, kids will continue talking. When you continue talking and talking and talking without room for them, they're going to have no opportunity to practice. So respect. Respect is about listening to someone deeply so that they understand that you see them as the experts who can take your guidance and apply it to the real world. One final thought. Why do we listen? Remember, everything we're doing in childhood is preparing our children for lifelong relationships with us, but also to launch into the world feeling secure. So why do we love, Hannah? We love so our children know they're worthy of being loved. Why do we listen? We listen so that children learn as they grow into an adult that people should hear them.
I was inspired by Ken's work to do one of my favorite conversations of this year, which was the interview that I just mentioned before, my conversation with the three teens who came to talk with me about managing conversation and conflict between parents and kids. And they talked so much about the importance and effectiveness of collaborative problem solving, which is the focus of so much of Dr. Ginsberg's work and the work of Ellen Galinsky, who I interviewed again for the podcast in episode 64. When we work with our kids to solve problems, it helps them learn skills, and it also helps us be more effective parents. Meanwhile, it strengthens our relationship with our kids for the long term. The idea of connection is super important for us as parents, too. My friend Archie Chimene came on the show to share his experience raising his son who has ADHD and autism. He talked about the importance of finding other people to connect with about the experience of parenting a child with a diagnosis. Archie's message in episode 55 is clear. Finding others who truly understand your journey, whether it's through support groups, online communities, or professionals with personal experience, can make a significant difference in navigating the challenges of raising a child with ADHD, autism, or any other diagnosis. Okay, theme 5, self-advocacy and personal growth. The big idea here is that self-knowledge fuels boundaries, purpose, and growth. And it just ran, this theme itself was just so evident to me in every single episode. This is kind of like an overarching theme that went through everything. So many of my guests talked about how it's never too late to work on making changes in our own lives or in the relationships, in our relationships with others, or in how we parent our children. So if you feel like you're stuck or you can't move forward, I really encourage you to work on reframing these past experiences that we've had that we might not feel good about as opportunities to learn. Right? Double down on the idea of observing without judgment. After you feel the feelings that don't feel very good, really try to observe without judgment. And then using our children's behavior as a message. Behavior is a message, right? It's just trying to tell us something. And then take what we observe to use as information that guides us towards the resources we need. Just like I said before, and like we've heard many people say, knowledge truly is power. When we use that power of observation to learn about ourselves, then we do learn more about ourselves, which gives us the power we need to make the change. Podcasts like Focus Forward are just a stepping stone towards living a happier, healthier life. So please take what you've learned from this season and reach out for professional help if you haven't already. I know lots of listeners already have professional support, so I'm so glad you're doing that for yourself. But if you haven't already, now is the time. We've got therapists, coaches, school psychologists, your child's teacher, your boss at work, if you have that type of relationship, whoever is there for you to get help from. You're not alone. You're not the only one who feels this way. And answers are out there. You just have to ask. And remember, knowledge is power. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day. Before I go, I'd like to share the many people who made this season possible. Sean Potts, of course, who does all the editing and production of each episode. Maggie Hickey, who helps with graphics, is my sounding board and a cheerleader. Michael Delman and Melissa Duty from Beyond Booksmart for supporting Focus Forward and its mission. Beyond Booksmart's outreach coordinators, Wendy Craven, Rose Saluti, and Tessa Schallenberger for connecting me with many of our guests. And of course, all of our amazing season 4 guests. And then last but not least, you. Thank you so much for listening. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your summer and that the beginning of the school year goes well if you've got children. And we will see you again in October.